Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, as I said earlier, is from our gospel reading we read just a few moments ago, where Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Dear friends in Christ, there's a book by a theologian named Gordon Fee called God's Empowering Presence. And in this, he was a professor. And in this book, he tells about a question that one of his students once asked. The student asked, he said, "Well, you know, God the Father makes sense to me, perfectly good sense to me. And God the Son, I can quite understand. But the Holy Spirit is a gray oblong blur." That's what the student said. Now think about that, gray, oblong. Well, to some extent, I think that most of us can probably relate to that remark. I mean, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We absolutely do. We know that he lives in us through faith in Jesus Christ. And we confess that he is with us right here, right now. Where two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, there he is in our midst. But it's pretty hard to picture. And let's face it, it's pretty hard to describe the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as we used to say. I mean, how are we supposed to picture a ghost, let alone a Holy Ghost? I mean, think about it. And I think it's a little ironic that the longest season in the church year is the Pentecost season, something like almost 30 Sundays. Almost half the year is given over to the season of Pentecost, Sundays after Pentecost. And it's during this time that we actually focus on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet, I think probably most of us would agree that of the three persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit kind of remains the fuzziest when it comes to our understanding of who he is and what he does and exactly how he does it. To be honest, the Bible really doesn't give us much help in picturing who the Holy Spirit is, or picturing the Holy Spirit. Or maybe in a sense, the Bible gives us too much information about picturing the Holy Spirit. Like our picture here on our slide today, you know, we picture him as a dove. There's, on the day of Pentecost, there's the rushing wind, the tongues of flame. There's all kinds of things in Scripture that tells us. So, I mean, in other places, the Holy Spirit is a quiet whisper. So, it's enough to make you say, "Will the real Holy Spirit please stand up?" I mean, on the other hand, of course, the Bible does provide some very clear and very helpful teaching about who the Spirit is and what he does for us as Christians. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, and here in our text, Jesus uses a very unique word to describe the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is parakletos, or you may have even heard the word paraclete at times. Literally, this word means one who is called to and stands by one's side. That's the meaning of the Greek word. And it's been translated in various different versions as either comforter, helper, advocate, or counselor. And Jesus says in our text today, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Jesus says, "I'm going away, but don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm leaving behind for you and for the Christians of all times a helper, a counselor, a comforter, a full-time free-of-charge counselor, the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit is the world's best counselor. So what does a good counselor do? More importantly, of course, what does this counselor do? The Holy Spirit. And how does he do it? Well, according to Jesus, one of the most important things the Holy Spirit does, well, it's kind of a rather unpleasant thing for us. He counsels us by convicting us of our sin. He uses God's word to confront us with those secret and those maybe not so secret areas of our lives that aren't pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Those things that are tearing down rather than building up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those things that are damaging our witness for Christ, that are also hurting us, preventing us from enjoying the blessings that come through the willing and joyful obedience to God's commands. Now, this isn't an easy job for the Holy Spirit, because let's face it, nobody likes to hear their sins. Nobody likes to be convicted of their sins. He literally has to deal constantly with hard-headed people like you and me. And we have a very hard time acknowledging our guilt and our sin. Pastor Eldon Weisheit, I don't know if you've ever heard the name Eldon Weisheit, longtime LCMS pastor, and he's an author who wrote some great books for and about kids. And he wrote a whole series of books full of children's sermons to help pastors in talking to kids about Jesus. There was one time, though, is one of his first times he sat down with children, as I did earlier today, and he asked the children to raise their hands and see if they had any words that they thought applied to them. Words like, and so he starts holding up these little pieces of paper, like short or tall, smart, strong, popular, handsome, pretty, all these things. And each time, at least, you know, some of the children were raising their hands. And then finally he held up the thing that said sinner. And they all just kind of looked around and looked around for a minute. And finally, one little boy grabbed his brother's hand and he raised it up. We can't help but laugh at that story. I mean, it's a great story. But our laughter probably has at least it ought to have a rather nervous edge to it, because we like to confess everybody else's sins but our own. It's not just children who like to point their fingers at somebody else. There's another story about a woman who came to her counselor complaining about that she didn't feel like she was growing in her spiritual life. And when the counselor asked her what she thought the problem might be, she immediately proceeded to list about a dozen reasons, all of which put the blame on somebody else. The pastor's sermons don't speak to me. The style of worship isn't the way I'd like it to be. The people at church are so unfriendly. My husband doesn't support me. My children don't behave the way they should. And so on, and so on, and so on. The counselor said he took a deep breath, said a silent prayer, looked the woman in the eye and said, "Have you ever considered the possibility that the main problem in your spiritual life might not be everybody else? Have you ever considered the possibility that the problem might have something to do with you?" The very best counselors in the world are the ones who care so much about you that they dare to speak the truth in love. Those are the best kinds. They'll speak the truth even though they know it will probably hurt, even though they know that they might suffer as a result of speaking that truth. That's the kind of counselor that the Holy Spirit is. He's always loving. He's always compassionate. He's always looking out for our best interests. But he is excruciatingly honest with us. And he's never afraid to tell us the truth. He's too concerned about our welfare to hide us from the sin that's harming us. So according to the Bible, we can actually help the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do help the Holy Spirit with his job as the convictor. Now, let me be clear. We cannot, and we did not in any way, help the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith. The Holy Spirit does that on his own. Let's face it. Dead people can't help anybody with anything, and we confess, as it says in Ephesians 2, that we were dead in our trespasses before the Holy Spirit has brought us to life and come to live in us, before the Holy Spirit made us alive through word and sacrament. But now, of course, he's brought us to life. He's come to live in us, and we can strive to walk by the Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5, to keep in step with the Spirit. Well, how? How do we do that? Well, how do we keep open to the Holy Spirit's leading and his guiding? Well, I can tell you one way. We can be in the Scriptures every day. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through his Word. There's another way, of course, and that's by what you're doing right now. Being in the body of Christ, coming into the body of Christ and coming to worship and to hear God's Word spoken and preached, to hear the pastor say those words that we need to hear so often, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And by remembering, probably the biggest, one of the largest things is remembering that before we can help get the splinter out of somebody else's eye, we got to yank the log out of our own eye. Most of us are pretty good at spotting other people's sins and then confessing them. It's our own sins that we have sometimes trouble seeing and confronting. Fortunately for us, though, convicting us of our sins isn't the Holy Spirit's only job as a counselor. In fact, it's not even his most important job. I mean, after all, even the devil knows how to accuse people of being sinners. In fact, the name Satan means the accuser. In our theology, we actually call the role that the Spirit plays in convicting us of our sins, the convicting role, we call that his strange or alien work. The Spirit's true and proper work isn't to convict us of sins only. The Spirit's work is to comfort us with the gospel. With that good news of our forgiveness in Christ, which is something the devil could never do. He'd never be able to do it. According to Scripture, in fact, the Spirit convicts us not just to make us feel guilty, but actually to lead us to true repentance at the foot of the cross, to prepare our hearts to hear and believe the comforting assurance of our forgiveness because of what our Savior Jesus Christ did when he died for us on the cross. As I mentioned earlier, some of the different Bible translations translate this word counselor as comforter. And that's a really good and scriptural and meaningful translation as well, because that's really the Spirit's ultimate mission and goal: to convince us and to keep on reminding us that even though we are poor, miserable sinners, God still loves us. God still cares for us. And he loves us more than we can ever possibly imagine, and wants and desires to claim us as his dear children in Christ Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit carries out this role in some very simple and yet very powerful ways. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. And he tells us that because of what Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross, our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That even though our sins are like scarlet, we have been made as white as snow through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit also speaks through the words of your humble pastor, who says to those who stand before God with humble and repentant hearts, I forgive you all your sins. And I'm going to tell you, it's not by my power. It's not by my authority. It's not by any special holiness in me, because when I'm speaking them to you, I'm speaking them to me as well. It's only in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve on your behalf. The Holy Spirit also comforts us daily with all of those wonderful promises that God made to us at our baptism, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And he comforts us by feeding us with the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And yes, there is even one more way that the Holy Spirit comforts us. It's through one another. It's through each other. As we speak to each other those words of forgiveness that Christ has spoken to us. Paul actually writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." We're comforted with the very same. We comfort others with the same comfort we receive. Even with all of these other ways of receiving God's forgiveness, there's something special, very special about receiving that assurance of that forgiveness through the lips of another human being, especially somebody who's close to us, through the lips of a wife or a husband, a father or mother, son or daughter, brother or sister, or a Christian friend, knowing that through their words that we have received forgiveness. There's a lot of other things that can be said about the counseling ministry of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons that the Pentecost season is so long is because there's so much to talk about when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What I want to emphasize this morning, though, is how all of these other works of the Holy Spirit, they grow out of the Holy Spirit's dual work as both the convictor, somebody who convicts us of our sins, and who comforts us with the gospel, who comforts us with that sure and certain assurance of our sins forgiven for the sake of Christ. I mean, think about it. If we ever forget that we're sinners, we might as well forget everything else that we've learned about God in the Christian faith. Because as John says in his first letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. On the other hand, if we as poor, miserable sinners ever stop believing that we're forgiven, we might as well stop believing everything else that God has told us. Because if God's message of forgiveness is a lie, then how can we believe anything else he tells us in this world or in his word? If we can't be sure that we are forgiven, what does it matter what we do? Why should we pray? Why should we serve? Why should we witness? What would there be to witness about if we can't believe that we're forgiven? So the Holy Spirit's job is to make sure that first of all, we never forget that we are sinners, but most of all, to make sure that we never stop believing that we are God's precious, holy children. We're God's forgiven children through the life, through the death, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Everything else that he does for us and in us and through us depends on his work as the convictor and the comforter. And as he convicts and comforts us every day, he promises to work powerfully in our lives in all kinds of other ways as well, as we allow him to, as we invite him to, and as we work with our divine counselor to be and to become the holy people that the Holy Spirit calls and empowers us to do. And he works in us even if we don't know it and don't feel it and don't see it. He is working in us each and every day. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.